Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
What if your time on the planet was ending today? If you had one thing to tell others, tell me what would you say? Would you laugh, would you cry when you watched the review of your life? Did you lay it all out on the table or hold it in time? Did you dot every T? Did you cross every I? Did you live every day of your life? Would you think you were ever? Would you think you arrived? When you thought about the way that you felt when love touched your heart for the first time? Would you want to do over with a little more stuff? Or would another 5 minutes to tell her you love her be more than enough? More than enough. Hey, more than enough. If you knew that goodbye was a heartbeat away, would you still never speak to a lover for making mistakes? Would you hate anybody who didn't agree? Or would you love everyone that you see? Would you think you were well? Would you think you were right when you thought about the way that you felt when love touched your heart for the first time? Would you want with a little more stuff? Or would another 5 minutes of holding him closer be more than enough? More than enough. Hey, more than enough. Oh. When you're in the day, life is full of circumstance. Very little happenstance till you look behind and find in each and every line love was on time. Hey, hey, hey. So many people sleepwalk through the day after day. Woke up mid-stride thinking, how did this happen to me? I opened my heart and wiped the sleep from my eyes. started laughing so hard that I cried, 'cause I found I was wealthy, and I found I'd arrived. When I thought about the way that I felt when love touched my heart for the first time, I didn't need a do-over with a little more stuff, 'cause I found that each time I could tell them I loved them was more than enough.
Welcome to Living in a Yes with the Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I find myself here every Tuesday night, and it is my honor and my pleasure to welcome you into the sacred space on Life Conversations Radio. We started the show with More Than Enough by Troy Horn. You can find his music at troyhorn.com. Rev B brings spiritual tools you can use to upgrade your understanding about spiritual qualities and how you can apply them in your life as a daily practice. To join the conversation, or if you have a question on your heart, this is the time to not be shy, family. Call in. The number is 347-426-3346. And don't forget to press 1 on your keypad. And now, family, without further ado, but with much love, please welcome Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. Welcome, Rev D. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. And welcome to everybody on the show. No matter where you're are, just know that God is where you are, that all there is the infinite, and everything is within it. And it's really extraordinary when we let that sink in. Sometimes I say there's not a spot where God is not. We can find God in the Himalayas, we can find God in the gutter, the ditches, even when we say somebody hasn't bottomed yet, that they have to hit the bottom, we know that they're going to find God there. So, this evening, there are a couple of things that I feel compelled to discuss, not so much in the context that we've been doing it before, of individual spiritual properties or qualities, but about the journey itself. As we start to approach the holiday season, there is a way that there tends to be more gatherings of friends, of family, extended family. We're more likely to have contact with people that we don't necessarily have as regular contact with during the week or, you know, during our year. And I know that there's one thing about family is that, and during the holiday time, we tend to do what I call space travel, which is that energetically, we're all over the map. We could be 50 years old chronologically, but when we show up at the house, we're 15 or we're 5. We go to the Thanksgiving dinner, we go to the Christmas dinner or something like that. And sometimes it can feel like everything that we knew, all the things that we had been studying and learning and practicing, just somehow or another, just went right out the window. And it's very important for us to have a sense of ourselves that transcends just time and space. And I'm here to talk tonight about how do we remember who we are and stand in that, no matter where we are or what's going on. the first thing that I want to say is that everything in life is cyclical. We're so anxious to get rid of things, and we want it to be over, and we don't want to go over the same thing again. And to us, so often the sign of progress in our minds is never having to repeat someplace that we've been before. And if that's our measurement of progress, then we're always going to fail, because life has a way of being cyclical. It's not just a loop-de-loop, like the same old track over and over and over again. But life is more like a spiral. You can picture that in your mind, where there's a circling around that happens, but it keeps circling at higher and higher planes, as opposed to, say, a phonograph record that just goes round and round with a skip on it, and just keeps doing the same track. I'm not saying that we stay on the same track, but that there's nothing linear. And this idea of linear thinking that is so pervasive in our Western theology, in our Western way of thinking, linear thinking has us to believe that there is a destination, that there's some place that I'm going to, that I'm actually leaving this place and going to someplace else, never to return. Because linear thinking is very one-way thinking. We don't even think continuum, of like a back and forth. In our minds, we're thinking progress, step forward, next day is just forward, is never going back. It's going someplace else into the future. This line of thinking is contrary to spiritual truth. It's contrary to spiritual groundedness and the way in which things actually work. The way that life works is things are in motion. Nothing's linear. From the greatest galaxy to the cells going in your body temple, everything, the seasons, everything is moving around in a spiral. It keeps repeating itself. It keeps coming back. Even when the wind blows, the wind does not blow in a straight line. That blew my mind. I was in a room here at my Inner Light Center. This was several years back. And I happened to be in counseling session. And the way that this room is configured, we call it our prayer room. It's a very beautiful room. The walls are textured with mud from caves in Israel. Very warm feeling. The hand texture that gives it an old world look. And there is a furnace in there, big, big furnace. There's a door on it. And covering the trap door is a big tape tapestry, this big, long, like huge tapestry that hangs there. It's a very strong heater because it heats up the room on the other side of this prayer room, which is our social hall. Big, open space, seats hundreds of people. So when you're in that little room and that heater's on, it gets a strong blast. And there was something that just bothered me all the time. There's a candle. Usually they're burning whenever we're in there. There's a big, what do you call it, like sand dish that's there and a stool that it sits on. And whenever that furnace was on, the flame of the candle seemed to be bending in the wrong direction, where it looked like the candle was actually being sucked in towards this blast of air as opposed to blowing away. And I just kind of muttered to myself one day, like, what? I wonder why that happens. And as fate would have it, the person I'm speaking to, one of my staff members, is an engineer. And she says to me, oh, well, that's because the flame is hitting the backside of the current. And then she just did her hand like spirals around, just like circles, moving her finger forward, these circles. She says, yeah. She says, wind blows in a current. I said, oh, of course, I've heard that. Sure, I've heard, you know, the current, but it never actually occurred to me. And then suddenly I something happened. Nothing is linear. Nothing. The wind is blowing in these currents that go around. So what we think of is linear. Let's just say we have a timeline, for example. Year one, year two, year three, year four. It really isn't just year one, two, three. It's January, February, March, April, May, June. Then again, January, February, April, March, June. It's winter, spring, summer, fall, winter, spring, summer. Just to even get to a timeline of what we think is linear year to year, it's successive cycles of months, of seasons, 24 hours. It isn't just one day, another day, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. These repetitions and then the repetitions within the repetitions. Why am I saying all that? I'm saying it to say relax. Relax. There really is no destination. There's no point A. From here over to point A. When you get to point A, you find out it's just, there's no point A to point B, excuse me. Then when you get to point B, you find out it's just your new point A. You go to high school, and you're a freshman and a sophomore and a junior, and you're so proud to be a senior, only to graduate to wind up being a freshman again. Even in our aging, I remember the old folks used to always say, once grown, twice a baby, that even our bodies wind up reverting back to some of the same kinds of things that they did before. And adulthood in adolescence is in the middle of those two things. It keeps repeating. It keeps repeating. Everybody just take a breath on that. Our goal should not be simply to try to get away from things so we never have to go through that again. Our goal should be to get smarter and wiser so that if we ever do find ourselves anywhere near that same kind of situation again, we make different choices. We make different choices. I contend that each of us has a core issue, something that we came into this lifetime to explore, to grow in, to heal, and that whatever this core issue is stays with us throughout our lives. Maybe it's, I'm not enough, or it's not a friendly universe. Nothing ever works out right. I'm not good enough. Whatever. And that core issue shows up in every arena of our life. It's going to show up in our relationships, in our money, in our body temple, in our careers. It's going to show up everywhere. Whatever that core belief is, I often tell people, you don't have a lot of problems. You really don't have a lot of problems. You just have one or two false ideas that are running havoc in your life. So that false idea about I'm not enough shows up in competitiveness with your siblings. Or it shows up in feeling like you're always broke financially. It shows up in feeling like you can never get your dreams satisfied. It's going to just keep showing up in all these different ways. So we think, okay, I've handled this. I've done my work. I've gone to therapy. I've chanted. I've meditated. I've read all the books, blah, blah, blah. I'm good. Okay. And I have a little breakthrough. I'm disappointed when it feels like that issue is up again. And then I question myself, well, I thought I did that work. I thought I handled that. And the fact that it's up again becomes the sign to me that I didn't do as much work as I thought that I did. And that's just not true. It's just not true. The fact is that we grow. The fact is that as you get older, as you grow, as you mature, there's just more to do. It isn't that you didn't forgive or that you didn't forgive enough. You forgave as much as you could at that particular time. But now that you're older, now that you're wiser, now that you're a little bit more spiritually mature, a little bit more seasoned in life, your capacity to forgive goes up. There are nuances that you didn't see before. There's levels of the heart that you didn't explore before. Kind of like you did as much math as you could in the third grade, but then when you're a senior in high school, you can do a little bit more. It isn't that you didn't learn enough math in the third grade. You did as much as your third grade math brain could handle. That's how it is with us with life. It's as though we are matriculating through this curriculum called life. And at every stage along the way, just like a grade level, we're doing as much as we can at that grade level, and then we grow. So there's no need, one, to judge ourselves for wherever it is that we are. I don't have to freak out in the fourth grade that I can't do seventh grade math. I don't have to worry about that. When it comes time for me in the seventh grade, I will have learned what I needed to do in the seventh grade math. I don't have to sit here today worried about the lessons that life has for me in the future, what decisions I'm going to make, how am I going to handle this thing or that thing, because by the time I get to it, I will have learned. By the time I get to it, I will have grown. By the time I get to it, I will be skilled and resourced and have whatever it is that I need. We have not failed because something appears to come back around again. It's not a failure. It's a graduation. It's a graduation. It's a promotion. It just means, okay, well, now you get to apply what you've learned since before. Because life is cumulative. It's cumulative, which means that it builds upon itself. Remember in school, sometimes they would have pop quizzes, and the pop quiz was just on what it is that you learned, say, that day before or that week. And then you have what's referred to sometimes as the final exam. The final exam is comprehensive. The final exam takes into account your capacity to be able to absorb the information, to apply it, to really understand it over its entirety. Well, that's what life does to us. Yeah, sometimes it feels like we have little pop quizzes that keep us on our toes. Were you paying attention to what just went on? You know, did you remember that? Did you see that? Did you hang on to that? And for the most part, the challenges that we come up against in life are cumulative, that they are going to require that we rely not just on the latest information that we have, but that somehow or another we put it all together, that we remember the things that we need to remember, that we can rely on the promises, spiritual promises that we've made or that have been made to us, that we can stand in the spiritual truth. We don't just get on and stay on. It's part of that linear trap. Like once I get on this, I just stay on this trap. I stay on this track of understanding forever. But that's not how it goes. We're forever forgetting. I love the way that Howard Thurman put it. He says, I had forgotten how easy it is to forget. that's in his essay, Moments of High Resolve. I had forgotten how easy it is to forget. The seeming yo-yo, the kind of cha-cha dance, the back-and-forth thing that we do sometimes, is just part of the journey because it's not linear. Nothing in healing is linear. We take a couple of steps forward and we take a couple of steps back. We try this on and we get a little result. We forget, then we have to come back to it. So our challenge is really not so much how do I manage to get on track, stay on track forever and ever, but how do I come back quickly? If I'm off, what do I need to do? Able to reawaken, to reengage, to get back to center. Because if getting back to center is a continuous process. A rocket ship on the way to the moon is only on target about 5% of the time. It has these very expensive correcting mechanisms to keep bringing it back. To keep bringing it back. And that's how it is with us. That we have to allow the universe to keep bringing us back to center. There's no chiropractic adjustment to be the chiropractic adjustment of all life. And no matter how good the adjustment was, life happens. Gravity sets in, stresses and strains, and we have to get adjusted all over again. So it is with us spiritually. We're in need of continuous spiritual adjusting. Spiritual adjusting. And that's okay. It's not a sign of failure. It's not a sign that anything has gone wrong. Quite the contrary, it's something else. When I say that it's a graduation, when I say that it's a promotion, I really do mean that. The moment that you declare something, that whatever, I'm going to be unconditionally loving, I'm going to really go for my greatness, I'm going to start spending more time with creativity. The moment that we start to really declare our deep intent about something, the moment that we do, we get opportunities to actually put that into practice. It looks like there are challenges. It looks to the naked eye sometimes like things are going against us. I'm trying to be unconditionally loving, and here you are bringing all this foolishness up in my face. You know, you're in my way of being unconditionally loving. Not recognizing we actually called that forth. When I say I want to be unconditionally loving, most people think I'm saying I want to live in bliss. What I'm really saying when I say I want to be unconditionally loving is that I am willing to now take a look at all of the conditions that I had put on loving so that I can release them. So that I can release them. When you say you're going to be unconditionally loving, you are writing a ticket to become very familiar with all the conditions that you did put on love. When you say you're ready to be wildly financially abundant, oh, you are writing a ticket at that moment to go back and to take a look at all of the false ideas that you have had about money, about abundance, about prosperity. It comes up so you can heal it. Feel, deal, and heal. We cannot heal what we do not feel. So there is this way that we keep going back, repeating things, going through certain things, recreating certain scenarios, not for the repetition of the creation, but we repeat it to give ourselves another opportunity for yet another breakthrough. Here it is again. Not, oh my God, why am I going through this thing again? But, hey, here it is again. Wow, that means I've grown. Here it is again. Oh, now I get to put this new thing into play. Oh, here it is again. Oh, I'm not going to be fooled this time. I'm going to remember what I learned since the last time. Oh, here it is again. Thank you, God. Thank you. There's a line in my book, The Sacred Yes, in one of the spirit letters, and it it was saying that we ask all the wrong questions. We keep asking, when is this thing going to be over and that thing going to be over? It says, those aren't the questions you should ask. It said, what you should be asking is, how long will I have the honor and the privilege to work through this particular issue, da-da-da-da-da, and Lord, is it long enough? I remember when I got that message, it was like, whoa, you're telling me that, no, I shouldn't be worrying you, God, about when is this going to be over, but I should give thanks to you for being in that position in the first place, a place where I can gain such fresh new insights and awareness and see the world through such a different lens, and then ask you, is it long enough? Like, don't you think maybe I should stay there a little bit longer? Oh, that was radical. That was radical. And I got it. And it has completely transformed my life. So everybody take a breath as we move into our break. And we'll give you the call-in number again after the break.
Yes. Yeah, we'll do it right now. 347-426-3346. Don't forget to press 1 on your keypad, because not only did Rev D channel the message that we're asking the wrong questions, there's a little spank in here, too. Spirit doesn't play, does it?
No.
And we're going to follow what was this on the other side of the break. Okay.
No, Spirit
don't
play.
I want you to ponder this. Spirit does not play, because not only does Spirit give you that we're asking all the wrong questions, I also understand from the sacred yes, Spirit said, but you aren't always seeking the truth. Too often you're seeking validation for what you think you already know. Let's just do a collective ouch, or maybe that's just for me. Oh, Rev D, I would love to hear more about that right after I let them know about all the other places that you can find, they can find you. Okay? I'll bring that back to your attention after the break, okay?
Okay.
Oh, Spirit does not play. Hello, family. You are listening to Living in a Yes with the Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. They're beautiful people on the phone lines. Gladys, Nisi, Jennifer Bliss, Donna, Tamara Joy in the chat room. Nisi's in two places at once. I don't know how she's doing that. I've got some great news to tell you about Rev D as well, and to get you some information. The call-in number, again, is 347-426-3346. Don't forget to press 1 on your keypad. If you're moving through something, if you need a higher resolve in what's moving in your life, if you need to know that you're more than enough, have a question on your heart, call in. This is the time. This is our sacred place. Let me let you know some other places where you can find Rev D in the meantime. Yes, 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 yes. So this class that she's doing right now at the Inner Light Ministries, Using Your Spiritual Toolkit, the last class is on November 12th, which is tomorrow, but I have no doubt that there are definite spiritual development classes at Rev D's church where you can get involved. And also, if you're interested in having your own sessions with Reverend Deborah L. Johnson, you can do that as well. It's a powerful experience. You know, if you want to focus on wisdom, insight, igniting your passion, you can customize your own sessions with her. You can make it personal. You can make it could be an organizational thing. There's so many powerful women and men who listen to Life Conversations Radio. Societal growth and development, your choice. And get this, you get to also choose how you would like to work with her, not just the area you'd like to focus in. So that's coaching, counseling, mentoring, visioning, facilitating, tutoring, prayer support, activist guidance, and so much more. You don't have to be in California to have this experience. It can happen virtually or in person. Okay, so make sure that you go to Inner Light Ministries to find out more information about all the amazing things that are going on. And maybe Rev D can give us a little bit about what's happening with We Circulate as well. Powerful opportunities to step up your spiritual game when you join her at Inner Light Ministries. Or better yet, you could check her out on her website at deborahjohnson.org. All right, we're going to go right back to it, get more involved. I left us with a cliffhanger because I really want to hear what's going to be channeled to Rev D about what I said. Can you believe that? But let me let you know again the call-in number. It's 347-426-3346, and don't forget to press 1 on your keypad. Now, I will come out of my closet, and my closet is, when I read those words in the sacred yes, let me say it again. But you aren't always seeking the truth. I'm putting the attitude in it. I don't know what spirit
And
gave
it comes with attitude.
Oh, okay. Then let me do it right. But you aren't always seeking the truth. Too often you're seeking validation for what you think you already know. You are seeking to reinforce your own thoughts. I'm like, what? How did she know? And So, Rev D, how do we get in alignment? How do we get in alignment? Because, you know, we talk some good. Okay, let me stop saying we. I talk some good stuff. I could sell furniture and land to myself when my brain is going. How do we get to the place, right, where we start asking the right questions and stop tripping on what we think we know? And it's all yours.
I just flipped open to the sacred yes just to see where it would land.
No. Where did it land?
So I had to laugh. It's landing on confess your heart.
Well then, I'm in alignment. You got it.
Oh boy.
Oh my gosh. I love your show. You got it. I'm listening, taking notes. I confess to my heart.
Oh, boy. This is pretty much what you were just talking about. It says, when you're feeling stuck, immobilized, it often seems that you're being imposed upon by something outside of yourself. Often a particular object becomes the focus of your discontent. However, the things that are making you feel so weighted down have originated in your own consciousness and your own thinking. But you say, I didn't create this thing or that thing. That really does exist. Yes, that thing may actually exist in the outer world of effects. However, it is the lens you use when you are viewing it that makes it appear to be cement. The sense of it being cement is your illusion. You hypnotize yourselves and put yourselves in trances by your own hypnotic suggestions. It is your belief that what you have experienced is the truth problematic here. So, what do you do now when your heart is open with self-disclosures and admissions of how you're really feeling? What do you do now, my reverend daughter? What do all of you do? Do you run and hide and try to pretend that you don't know what you really do know? Do you sulk and pout because you are not where you think you ought to be? Do you get angry and resentful because you have to deal with things now that you would otherwise prefer not to look at? is your heart full of judgment and condemnation because you have not lived up to some expectation that either has been put upon you or is your own? And either way has become deeply internalized. Do you see failure or possibility? Is it good news or bad news? Is there something that rejoices within you and says, wow, I have an opportunity here to let something else go that I really don't need. Thank you, God. This may seem strange. You need to think about it. Do you thank me for your revelations? Or do you moan and groan and complain to me or question me about why all of this is being dredged up in you at this most inconvenient time? Why would you do such a thing to me, Lord? After all, I'm doing what you told me to do. So what's up with this? As though I am deliberately doing something to you to make your life work worse. The very fact that you are doing what I have instructed you to do creates the environment that allows you to see all of these things in the first place. But, you say, it feels so old. The hurt is so deep. Why do I have to go through this again? When can I just get on with it? What is new and different here? Doing my work puts you in the position to not just have the same old things come up again, but have you see them through fresh new eyes. Do you claim your fresh new eyes? Or do you get stuck in the old body sensations that you have found so uncomfortable? Do you get excited about the possibility of really getting free? Why do you pray so much to be free and then fight so hard to keep your chains? Why do you ask me to free you and then fight me when I take you to water to give you the much-needed drink that will quench the thirst of your soul? Too many of you believe that the answers to your problems, the riddles of your lifetime, can be found in some lofty revelation of some material that you've never thought of. Since you have turned everything in your life topsy-turvy and upside down over and over and over again, analyzing the same tinker toys, as you would say, you are certain that the answers have not merely eluded you, but have never even presented themselves. Thus, you're always waiting for some new insight that in some way will actually provide you with new information. However, the answers to the riddles of your life are not in some new information that you haven't seen or thought of before. The answers to the riddles of your life are right in front of you. They have been staring you in the face all the time. It's not that you need new information. What you need is a new interpretation of what is in front of you. You need to see things differently. I'm going to read this one last paragraph. When scientists, mathematicians, engineers, philosophers, anyone who is searching with diligence, even athletes or dancers, arrive at a new discovery, what always strikes them is the fact that it had been underneath their noses all along, yet they just couldn't see it. Remember what I told you some time ago, my reverend daughter, when you were waiting for me to reveal to you some new truth or insight for you to give to the people so that you could make the contribution to the world you feel destined to make? at that time you couldn't understand why I was asking you to speak and to write, because in your view, everything that ever needed to be said or written had already been said or written, and you couldn't understand what new contribution you could make. And I explained to you that real genius is not about identifying some far-off remote thing that nobody else knew anything about. True genius is in making plain the obvious that everyone is simply missing. You are simply missing the answers to the riddles of your life because you are not accepting the fact that the answers are always with you, right where you are, even in the midst of what you are experiencing. I am going to read one more. I'm going to skip the next paragraph. I'm going to go to this one. I think it's alluding to what you were talking about, Celeste. The reason why you don't get answers to most of the riddles of your life is not because the answers aren't there, because you're asking the wrong questions. You're asking questions like, when will this be over? What's wrong with this one or that one? Or maybe even yourself. Why doesn't it ever work out? Why is this going on now? You're asking these questions in a way that makes it seem as though what's going on in your life shouldn't be going on. You keep trying to get out of where you are to get on to where you think you ought to be, your assumption being that the answer's over there. It is your inability to be with yourself where you are that is the difficulty here. If you will start asking yourself the spiritual question, that you teach, preach, talk about, sing about, affirm, et cetera, so much, then the very nature of your inquiry into your own life will be substantively different. Ask yourself questions like this. Lord, what would you have me to see or understand now? I know there's only one of us here, so how is this one or that one, who is irritating me to death, really me? And how am I then? All things are working together for good. Lord, show me how to use the good that I know is in this situation for the highest and the best purpose. How long will I have the honor of experiencing this circumstance which brings such a fresh, new healing perspective to my life? And Lord, is it long enough? When you start to seek truth, when you start to seek the revelation of your real, authentic self, when you start to earnestly seek the unity, the harmony, the wholeness of your being in your relationship to all persons, places, and things, you will discover that every moment of every day is magical. It's much like what happens when the light hits glass that's multifaceted with cuts on all sides. Oh, there's a rainbow of color, a full spectrum. There's such a delight. You may say that the rainbow is an illusion, but is it any more of an illusion than what you think you've been seeing anyway? Think about how you stop in that moment and smile, and your heart feels full just from seeing all those brilliant colors reflected. That's how it is with your life, my children. You are diamonds. All of you are diamonds. Every time you are able to see yourself in a new perspective, every time you're able to overcome some cloud of illusion that would have you believe in the appearance it creates, every time you are able to do this, you cut a new facet on your diamond. The diamonds that shine the brightest are the ones that have the most facets cut on them. Different angles turn in a lot of different directions. It's not just flat, one-dimensional. It's a crystal clear transparency that's able to show its true colors because it lets the light in. This is why it is good for you to confess the trials and the tribulations of your heart. You open up your closet doors and you allow the light to come in. And when the light comes in and you're able to face where you are with your spiritual eyesight, then you are able to see so much more than you can see. Think on these things. Let your light in. That's from the letter Confess Your Hearts.
Oh, Rifty. Thank you. Thank you, not just for me, but for everybody who's on the line, who's listening right now. I will not sing Charlotte. I sure will. It's Donna from Canada. And
all right.
She could. Yes, yes. She's a friend. She's been calling in. And Donna, if Donna, turn down your radio and let's tune in your spirit, darling. Here's Rev D. Say hello.
Hey, hey.
Hello, Rev. Hello,
how are you
Rev
doing?
Tonight I'm really, I'm actually feeling a little raw, very raw.
Okay.
I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling a lot of different emotions.
All right. What's up, my sister?
I feel like I failed my children. I feel like I haven't been able to provide for them, and it's just weighing on me. And I just feel like I don't know if I've really been a good example. But yet, you know, I'm out there in the world. I'm doing. I feel accomplished. I feel good. There's just this part of me that feels. It's just my financial. The financial aspect of my life, I feel like I'm a total failure, and I feel like it's in the way of me, of my expansion. So I need to release whatever, all this heaviness that's there.
Do you love your children?
They're like my life.
Do they know that you love them?
Very much. We're very, very close.
Okay, that's the richest thing in the world. Then you have given them what you are supposed to give them. Anything else is gravy.
But I feel ashamed, like, you know, we've been through some really financial hard times, and sometimes we haven't had food, and, you know, I had this heart-wrenching conversation with my daughter today, and she said, you know, I shouldn't be the one worrying if there's food in the fridge, and I shouldn't be the one worrying if I can pay for my school fees and pay for my school trip and pay for my license and stuff like that. And I just felt horrible.
Well, you know,
I feel like I've been carrying this. I've been just carrying all this weight.
How old is your daughter?
16.
Okay. Let me let you in on a little secret. You could be a millionaire, and whatever you do isn't going to be enough for your 16-year-old. You can talk to any parent. At 16, you can't be right. Nothing you do is right. It's never enough. And the important thing right now is for you to work with your children in understanding that they are enough. That they are enough. Right where they are. They don't need more stuff. They don't need more whatever in order for them to have self-esteem and value. Now, I know that society puts a lot of heavy burdens on us, and particularly on parents. and we feel like we want to give more and more and more. And all I can ask you to do is cut yourself some slack. All you can do is the best that you can do. That's all you can do. And if there's ever a time when you feel like you didn't do your best, and that's gnawing at you, then it's forgiveness time. What happens here is that whatever we believe about ourselves, if there's some kind of flaw or some idea that we're holding, the other people around us are going to mirror that. I remember my mother used to tell me, actually my dad too, they used to tell me, you know, Deborah, if you walk around with a chip on your shoulder, there's always going to be somebody there to knock it off. That was a game that people used to play to dare to start a fight. They'd stick a chip on their shoulder and dare you to knock it off. And, of course, there'd always be somebody to knock it off. That your fear that you're not enough is what needs to be dealt with the most. Not how much you give your children and how much they get, but your fear that you're not enough because you haven't provided a certain amount of financial stuff for them. You're enough. You are enough. Enough. That's where the healing has to come. That you are enough. So that you can stop being apologetic for you. This is gratitude time. This is gratitude time. And it's nothing personal against your daughter or anybody else, but this is gratitude time. This is the time when you say, muster up with everything that you have. I'm doing the best that I can. This is my responsibility. There are a lot of burdens that are on me. And now would be a really good time for some gratitude. My sermon was on this last Sunday. And I encourage you to check out my website, InnerLightMinistriesLive.com. The sermon topic was what you appreciates. And explaining how that word appreciate is gratitude, but that word appreciate also means to increase in value. Mm. And that until we start expressing some gratitude for what it is that we do have, it never appears to be enough. And part of this lesson for her right now, even at this age, is to learn to be grateful for what she does have. And that will change her life experience. Her life experience isn't going to change just when you give her more. Her experience of life is going to change when she starts to have some gratitude for what she does have. What a wonderful opportunity for her to start learning that at this young age.
So how can I open up that dialogue with her?
Have the courage to say it. Have the courage to say it. Where's the gratitude? Where's the gratitude for what you do have?
What about the part that they don't understand that, you know, I'm creating from, like little resources and really believe in my vision. How do I make them understand that, or do I need to make them understand that, or how do I, you know, I can understand their insecurities and stuff, but it's not only about having a job and but at the same time, you know, she's not wrong when she's saying that we need to have stability in order to be able to have our basic needs met. She's not, I don't feel that she's wrong in saying that.
But are you deliberately running around trying not to have their needs met?
No. God knows no.
Okay. That's all I'm saying is that there's always more. There's always something that we've fallen short of. There's always something that can be the next thing. But if you're going to be in a family, there has to be a place of compassion. Compassion for the struggle. Compassion for the journey. Compassion for what everybody is up against. And what's happening now is that your daughter is mirroring your own worst internal fears. Like she's putting a mirror spotlight up to the things that you're thinking. Kids are wonderful for doing that. I mean, people are in general, but kids are really, really wonderful for that. It's like they're an emotional ventriloquist or something, where they're blurting out our worst fears, putting them right in front of our face to take a look at. And it's your belief in it that's the problem here now, not hers. Your belief. You're trying to worry about how to make your kids feel something else, but you need to feel something else.
Mm-hmm.
You need to feel something else about you. You need to feel good about you. That's why it hurts. Can you give yourself permission to love you just the way you are? God loves you just the way you are. You don't have to do anything else. You have to earn more money. You don't need any more degrees. You don't need anything else because God loves you just the way that you are. Just the way that you are. Your assignment is going to be to look in the mirror and say to yourself, just the person looking straight in the mirror, I love you. I accept you. I believe in you. And I trust you. I love you. I accept you. I believe in you. And I trust you. Can you write those down?
Can you repeat it?
Yeah. You're going to look dead in the mirror. You're going to say, I love you. I accept you. I believe in you. I trust you. That's going to be your job. In the mirror. And repeat that to yourself. Put a timer on. Okay? You got to do it at least 5 minutes. Minimal. 5 minutes. Start off once a day if you need to. Morning, night, but as many times you can, at least 5 minutes a day. You have a cell phone, it's got a clock thing on there.
Yeah.
Timer. But at least that many times, 5 minutes. 5 minutes is not going to take a long time out of your day. But it's going to make a world of difference in your life. Then you can get to the point where you're not just always in the mirror. You're just saying it to yourself, period. When you're driving along, when you're walking or doing the dishes, you're still saying this to yourself. You are in dire need of affirmation. But it's the kind of affirmation that's going to have to come from you. It's true for all of us. Affirm yourself. Otherwise, we're looking for other people to give us what we're not giving ourselves. You give it to you.
And Donna, before you go, real quick, I just want to tell you that this is Celeste. You're getting so much love in a chat room, and you are not alone. And I also want to bring in a life coach today who wants to join the conversation. So, hello, life coach today.
Oh, hey, Celeste. Hey. Donna, thank you for that gift as you go through your healing. You created a space for others to heal along with you. Even the courage that it took for you to call in, let that guide you. Everything that Reverend D shared with you. Thank you.
Very proud of you.
Uh-huh.
It was a lot of strength.
Uh-huh.
Prayer.
Yes.
We can all use some prayer.
Yes, indeed.
I know you have to do a station break. Is it okay to
No. Go right ahead. We'll just run it to the end. Keep going.
Okay. Let's everybody just take a deep breath. With every breath, I'm stealing away to the secret place of the Most High. The inner chamber. As I speak this word for the one that we lovingly on this call refer to as Donna, I'm knowing that there's really only one of us here. But the prayer that I pray for her, I'm praying for myself, I'm praying for everybody. I speak a prayer of relief, freedom, knowing that we take the shackles off of our feet so that we can dance. In this moment right now, I speak to not only Donna, but the Donna and all of us. Self-doubt, the worry, judgment, condemnation. There's no fertile ground here anymore. You cannot stay. There's no more Velcro on us. You can't stick to us. Your day is done. It's done. It's over. In this moment right now, I speak a prayer of freedom. I speak a prayer of release, of right action, divine order. As I am speaking this word, I'm knowing that the soul is being liberated, that we're no longer holding up to ourselves a photograph of the past. Oh, no, no, no. We're standing before the very face of God, who sees in us the best and the highest and the greatest that we can possibly be. There is nothing that has ever transpired in life that limits our divine potential in any way, shape, or form. No person, place, or thing can interfere with our greatness. Speaking this word right now, I'm knowing that each and every one of us is a divine child of God. Give us this day our daily bread. Our cups are overflowing. God's grace is sufficient. In this moment right now, we're leaning on the everlasting arms. We are rocking and cradled in the bosom of God. It is not on our backs to make life happen. I speak my word for the security of our families. I pray a prayer of enoughness for ourselves, our children, our elders, for everyone. There be complete sufficiency of mind, body, and spirit, nothing extra and nothing missing. Oh, I speak this word for Donna right now. I speak it and know that something within her heart calms down. That the time blinded eyes are opened. That she sees with a new spirit. That she sees herself free, 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 free. Choices in this freedom. She's liberated in this truth that she is enough, has always been enough, that there is nothing extra and that there is nothing missing. The good that she seeks is seeking her. And she is what she's looking for. What she's looking for, she's looking with. She is the prosperity. She is the balance. She is the courage. She is the strength. She is the knowingness who she is. Ego, get thee behind us. Get thee behind us. When the ego can't take credit for our success and wants to take credit for our failure, just get out the way. It's not about you anymore. There's a light that shines so brightly, it illuminates even the darkest corners of her consciousness. She is the light. She is the light. Is the light. I know this. For the transformation that is taking place now, I do give thanks for the recalibration. Because I know that every muscle and cell and fiber and tissue of her being is resonating with this vibration, recalibrating itself realigning, moving into a balanced adjustment, reorienting her whole thinking, her whole aura, her whole energy field. Calm washes over her. Joy. A river of joy that is running through her. A peace that passes all human understanding. Thank you, God. Thank you for blessings large and small. We just get out of the way. We allow it to be, and so it is.
And so it is.
Mm. Thank you so much. It was so beautiful.
Thank you for the privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And we love you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mm. Thank you. I feel loved.
Good.
Crafty, as you ponder this moment, mm-hmm. and it's that time, time goes by so fast when you're having fun and feeling the love of the spirit. I'm wondering, Revdy, as we prepare to listen to you again next week, are there any homework assignments for us? Are there some things that we can do to ride these waves? There's so much energy waves. I feel it. Donna's not about by herself. What's our homework? What can we do
to strengthen
our resolve? Yes,
ma'am. Do the exercise I just gave her.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs to do that exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
Yes.
Needs to do that exercise. Because we're not seeing ourselves anymore. We're not seeing ourselves. We're seeing our problems. We're seeing our troubles. We're seeing the outer world. We're seeing stuff, phenomena, so-called facts. We're doing everything. But really seeing us. It is an amazing thing, I'm telling you. It is an amazing thing when you really stop and look at yourself in the mirror. After a while, you start seeing something. After a while, you're not even looking at you anymore. You develop that quiet witness observer. You begin to see somebody in your eyes looking back at you, so to speak. There's an intimate relationship that we need to get back to with ourselves. We're vibrating at the frequency of the world. It says in Romans, be not conformed to this age, to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's not engage the phenomena. Your exercise is to step away from it and rebuild your relationship with you. See, there's got to be an us that comes to God. Do you feel that? To have a really good relationship? It's like anything else. It's like any other kind of relationship. That if it's really going to be a good one, that we have to show up. And we can do more than just take our troubles to Jesus. It's in the garden. and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. We have to have the courage to step out of the madness. Step out of it. Even if you got to go to your work and just lock yourself up in the bathroom a few minutes, just close your eyes and just say to yourself, you know, I love me. I accept me. I believe in me. And I trust me. You'll probably start to cry when you start to do these affirmations. Probably start to cry. That your soul will need to hear this from you so much. See, this exercise helps you to be something. Most of us just want to do something. But if I give you something to do, it's to help you to be something. Remember in the reading? So we keep looking for something big and profound, some new information we've never heard of or whatever. It's a true genius. It's just making obvious what everybody's been missing. These affirmations do that. I believe in you. Look at yourself in the mirror. I accept you. I love you. I believe in you. I trust you. Whoa.
That is living in the yes.
Mm-hmm.
Loving oneself, accepting oneself, believing in oneself, and trusting oneself. Living in the yes.
Mm-hmm.
That simple and transformative.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, thank you, Rev D. Thank you,
yes.
Donna.
Can I just say part of the reason why this particular kind of exercise is important?
Mm-hmm.
Because God could be showering us with things all over the place. But if we don't believe ourselves worthy,
yes,
we won't even see it, let alone be able to receive it. You mentioned earlier this practice that we have going at Inner Light called We Circulate. And it's not rocket science. It's very simple. See, thank, and share. It's a pay it forward program. It's a just acknowledge the good that's happening. Because there's always some good somewhere. And we have people particularly focusing on material things, because that's one of the places where we get just stuck the most in believing that there's limited supply and that there's not enough, or, you know, we believe we can somehow muster up a little bit more joy or health or peace or love or whatever. It's like, oh, money, oh, no, yeah, I'm on a fixed income. There's only this much. We already talk about what we don't not going to have next year, you know, and it's just being aware of our blessings, being aware. So we're referring to it as the unexpected income. Unexpected, just to help people really see. And then we're paying it forward. We're taking 10% of that. The people here are tithing it to Inner Light. You can tithe it whatever you want to tithe it to. With our program, there's a special account that's set up. You can even can text in your donation, like right there in the moment, and it keeps a track of everything that you're doing. I know some of you on the program have been participating. And I tell you, it will really change your story. It'll really change your story because most of us aren't trusting ourselves. We're not trusting ourselves to be either worthy vessels, competent vessels, capable vessels. Like, yeah, God's abundance is flowing everywhere, but not on me. This little practice just helps us to see that's a lie. It's not true. And gets us into a whole nother rhythm. And anybody can check me out, innerlightministries.com, and the We Circulate is right there. It's right there on the home page, or contact me, Rev D, at innerlightministries.com. We'll hook you up.
Wow. What a soul food. I think we are complete.
Okay.
No, we can't have an overnighter. All right.
I'm working on it. I still got to, you know, we still got to work on some of these retreats now.
Yes.
I know.
Yes,
like I said, 2015.
Yes.
Rev D coming to a city near you, and probably Atlanta. I will be there for that.
Well, yes. You can drop the probably. I'm declaring.
You can drop the probably.
That's right. Drop the probably.
Yes, it's happening.
Yes.
That's the next. We've got some visioning to do. It's going to be happening. Rev D, I just want to, from my heart to your heart and to everybody that's listening in the sacred circle right now, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you, Donna, and all of our listeners. We're going to release you to your night. I'm going to do it. To continue shining bright like a diamond. I couldn't help it. Ever since you brought that to my mind, all I was hearing is shine bright like a diamond. And remembering all those fragments and those pieces that makes up rainbows. Powerful show, powerful ministry, ministering to our hearts and our minds, our bodies, our spirits. We appreciate you so much and looking forward to finding out what will be downloaded next week.
You got it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rev D.
All right. Much
take
love
care.
To you, Rev D. Thank you so much.
No bye problem. Bye. Okay.
Not a problem. If you want some more, Rev D, make sure. Wait, did I cut her off?
I'm here.
No, you didn't. Oh, okay.
Because, hey, looky here. I'm not trying to cut off Rev D. Rev D, is there something else you want to say? Share with us?
No, I'm good. Love yourselves. Because God already does.
Thanks, Rev D.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
If you want more of Rev D, you make sure that you're here next week, Tuesday, at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern. Living in the Yes will always be there for you to help you say a sacred yes to your life. We are going to release this amazing show
and
as
I
a
want
prayer to our
I want to invite
yes.
the
I
listeners to this to
yes.
listen to the show again. And check out mm-hmm. Rev D's website, particularly her church, you know, because we all know the spiritual truth is so simple that we think we overcomplicate it. Check out her website, her weekly services, they're all archived. And that's another place to go and just nourish yourself and keep it simple, you know, keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
What a gift.
And that's. Yes, and let me make sure I say it one more time. That is innerlightministries.com. You'll find all
mm-hmm.
her powerful, beautiful music. We had
this woman's amazing husband on the show on Live Conversations this week. This is Cynthia James. Let go. And thank you, beautiful listeners, for your energy, for participating, for joining us. Make sure you come back next week for some more. Because they're still telling what Rev D's going to download. Yesterday, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say Thursday.
Yes! Oh, my God.
The play experience with Umberto Ferreira. And I know. And Sunday, Celestial Show with Kenneth Morgan. And then I'm on Monday, the Ask Life Coach Jade Radio Show. And, of course, we rerun again with Rev D.
That's right. Absolutely. So the next show coming up is the play experience. You want to get on the swings with Umberto Ferreira. I'm serious. We have amazing hosts of Life Conversations Radio. I'm always proud to be here. But tonight, I'm like, yeah, that's my network. So come and join us. Good night, family. We love you. Mwah.
Surrender, let it go.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.